Hey, welcome back to the Stormforce Fitness Show. I'm John Latok, and today we're going to be talking about how long you should diet for. Now, as usual, particularly with me, this is not going to be a black and white answer. If it was just like a number of days or a number of weeks, then I would post that as a Facebook status and off you go. But the reality is that, like most goals, there's no straight answer. There's a few ifs and buts that you need to consider, and we need to think about sort of where you're starting from, where you're at the moment, certain things to do with how your brain works. So I'm going to cover as much as I can of that stuff as we go along. But essentially, we're going to take a sort of two-level approach. One is going to be the macro approach, and by that I don't mean macro as in macronutrients, but macro in terms of, like, when you talk about macroeconomics, almost like the longer period. You know, for you, ultimately, we're talking about years and decades and how you can make certain adjustments and develop a lifestyle, a nutrition system, if you want to call it that, that you're able to apply consistently because it doesn't really cause you huge amounts of stress. Okay, that's the problem with a lot of diets is people don't consider whether they're going to be able to keep this going. And the problem pretty soon arises that they realize they can't maintain things. They realize they can't bank results either. So you can't just go, okay, I'm going to lose 10 pounds of fat and then I'm going to stay at that while I go off and do other things because I haven't got time for my nutrition. I want to go out drinking, I want to eat whatever I want. As soon as you start doing that, you start to put the fat back on. And unfortunately, that's what the majority of people go through in a cyclical nature. They're constantly losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight. And over, say, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, a lifetime, at best, they're just still where they started. Okay. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, they actually gain weight despite having done loads of diets. So we're going to talk about it on a sort of macro level. We're also going to talk about things you need to think about on a micro level. And by that, I mean a shorter period of time. You know, typically a good thing that resonates with most people is a week. You know, it fits with our social system and work system. So things you can do on a weekly basis that just keep you in the game. Instead of going, right, for 21 days, I'm just going to torture myself as much as I have to. I'm going to eat as little as possible. You know, I'm going to snort cabbage and all this kind of stuff just because I'm so desperate to get the results. But you might be able to do it. Some people do and they look good for their holiday, but then very soon after they're, like I said, fat again or even actually worse than they were because it was such a stress that they've gone full tilt the other way, eating whatever they want to do, dining out, getting pissed. And now, as we said, they actually end up worse off than when they started if they just carried on eating relatively sensibly. So let's look at the first question of how long should I diet for? Well, somewhat sarcastic answer is until you reach your goal. Essentially, if you are still not where you want to get and you know, you've thought about your goal sensibly, you know, you're not just going, oh, I want to be 5% body fat with having, you know, no clue as to what it actually takes to get there or whether you even need to get there, you know, you essentially just have to keep going until you reach your goal. So if you set a goal and you know, yeah, when I get to this level, I know it's a good target. I know last time I did that, I felt my best. I felt energetic. Life was better. The things that are important to me in my life were easier. You know, that is your starting point. So that's what you should just keep going until you get there. Obviously, we'll break that down because that's not particularly helpful on its own. But as a guide, if you're not sure what your target should be, well, again, you know, the lower the better to a point. Typically for men, I'd say below about 8-9%, you're not going to be feeling particularly healthy. You're going to find that testosterone levels drop. You're not going to be performing at your best, particularly, you know, if you want to be strength training, doing high intensity stuff. If you are ridiculously lean, then generally the two don't sort of pair off together. Whereas for ladies, we typically say about 18% is about the lower limit. Again, if you're wanting to be healthy, you're wanting a functioning period and functioning hormones and so on. Obviously, you will read about bodybuilders and fitness models going lower than that. But again, it comes back to my point that are they actually healthy? Are they able to do some of the things you want to do? You know, a bodybuilder, particularly a professional, that's all they have to worry about. Everything in their life is centered around how much muscle have I got, and at the same time, you know, how little fat have I got. That is their job, that is what their life is all about. They might not be trying to sort of play football at the weekend playing tennis with their friends, having energy for other things. It's literally, so long as I have the energy for my training, then I can perfect that. That is all I give a toss about. So yes, you can go lower, but again, you'll often actually find some of these people will, you know, dip down to ludicrously low levels, but they don't maintain that. You know, they're doing this for their competition, their show, and then after that, they will let things creep up a little bit, not because they're not letting go completely, but it will come up a little bit while they say do a muscle building phase. Maybe they're doing it a bit more strength, so they're taking in more calories. So again, don't take these snapshots as sort of targets that are meant for you to, we say walk around that. You know, someone might be a competition, they might be 5%, but they're walking around at 10 to 12%. Okay, so don't take a snapshot as a, this is what I'm like every day of the year. Obviously, again, I will always say, don't forget the thing, if they're taking drugs as well, if they're taking steroids and things that maybe increase fat burning, but also screw up a lot of things inside your body, you have to understand that that will quite clearly affect things and how they can diet. So let's take a look at, now that we have those goals, you know, you might be at a point where like, oh my God, I now know, right, to get to 25% as a lady, I need to lose this amount of body fat. That is going to take me 6 months to a year. Now, if I say to you, oh, okay, right, so you're on this calorie deficit for 12 months, the odds are you're not going to be too happy with me. You're not going to feel particularly good about permanently being in a calorie deficit, permanently counting calories, permanently say no to drinks and brunches and going out for dinner with your friends. So this is where a lot of people fail before they've even started, because they kind of brush that to the side. Okay, yeah, yeah, 12 months, okay, I'm willing to do that. But as soon as they get into life and it's like, hey, Sarah, do you want to come and do this with me? I can't. Okay, what about next weekend? We're going to have a few drinks. Oh, I can't. Okay, we just finished, you know, the netball season's finished. We're going out for dinner and a few drinks. Oh, no, I can't. Soon enough, things will fall apart. So this is why I say, if you look at it on a macro basis, a longer term period, we need something that enables us to stay tuned in. And before I get into that, which is going to be taking diet breaks, I always go back to, there was a good study into rats. And what they did, it's not a very nice study, and if you're an animal lover, you won't particularly like this, but they basically put some rats in water in a sort of like a big, not vase whatsoever, like a big tub. Basically, the rats couldn't get out, so they were just swimming and swimming and treading water. And they found that after about 15 minutes, the rats were getting pretty damn tired and started to drown. So what they did, they then took the rats out, gave them a little break, let them get their energy levels, put them back in, and those rats then went for about 60 hours. That's crazy. So they were essentially starting to drown at 15 minutes, but when they took them out and put them back in, then these rats were able to go for 60 hours. So that is just a clear demonstration of how when the brain has hope, when it can see an endpoint, when it believes there is an endpoint, it can stay tuned in. It can push us to do what we need to do. Now, I'm not saying you need to go swimming. I'm not saying you need to be feeling like you're drowning. But when it comes to your diet, if you know there's these breaks, you will be able to keep going for much, much longer than if you just try and force yourself to go for as long as possible. So that's where we bring in this concept of diet breaks. And typically what we mean by that is 1 to 2 weeks where you're not sort of counting calories, you're not worried too much about protein intake and things like that. And taking these 1 or 2 week diet breaks has been shown to actually increase adherence in the long term. So that could be for a variety of reasons, like we said about the rats and just that degree of hope and seeing the end. Sometimes there's other psychological things at play. It means you can, you know, go enjoy some of the things that you like to do. So you're okay giving them up for a period of time, but you don't want to give them up permanently. There's various things that, you know, could be, should be, maybe. We don't really know. But ultimately, 1 to 2 weeks has been shown to increase adherence long term. So hopefully you're listening to me now because you're in this as a lifestyle thing. You want to improve your life. You still want to have fun. You still want to drink a bit, have a pizza. But ultimately, you want an overall healthy lifestyle. You want to be lean and you want to look good. So what does this diet break look like? Well, obviously some people will just eat whatever they want, but like we said, you can quite easily do a lot of damage in a couple of weeks and pile on. You know, I've seen people go on holiday and come back 10 to 12 pounds heavier. So not a good idea to just go mental. So what I normally say is try to stick to about 90% healthy foods. Like by now, if you've been following a diet, as much as I don't really like that word, we'll stick with it for now, then you'll, you know, if it's structured well and you're listening to a good coach, you'll understand the benefits of vegetables, you'll be eating a decent level of protein, you'll be getting some of those healthy fats and your omega-3s and all this kind of stuff, you'll be drinking enough water. So hopefully that stuff will be so habitual by now that you can almost do things a little bit more kind of by sight. And it's even though you're saying I'm having a diet break, you're still able to stick to healthy stuff 90% of the time. So if you go out for a meal, you're like, okay, I'm not just going to go crazy. I'm not going to have the triple burger with 9 types of cheeses. You know, well, fine, have the burger. You know, it's just a single burger. Maybe have a cheeseburger or have a salad with it. Or maybe have one or two drinks, but I'm not staying in the pub for sort of 6 hours afterwards and getting twatted. You know, you start to form these habits, and it won't actually be that difficult to do because you know it makes you feel good. It's kind of like you're used to the sort of more conscious level of eating. So even though you're having a diet break, it's still 90% healthy. Okay, so when should we do this diet break? Well, again, there's no exact timing. And typically, we'll say sort of 6 to 12 weeks. Some people may be less, depending on the goal, depending how lean they are already, maybe 3 weeks. But for most people, somewhere between sort of 6 and 12 weeks is about the right time to keep you focused on what you're doing, but not go too long that you start losing the plot and hating things. So like I said, there's no exact answer because it might be that you've been doing your diet for 7 weeks and now you've got a friend's wedding coming up, and because the wedding's on, friends that you haven't seen are coming over for a week, they want to make the most of it. So, you know, I live in Guernsey, so maybe they're going to come over, enjoy the island for a week. So you're going to hang out with them a little bit more. So that week, it makes sense to have a diet break. If you've done well for the 7 weeks leading up to it and the wedding and stuff, then great. You know, you should be able to enjoy that. So like I said, no exact answer, but obviously if you're having a sort of 1 week diet, 1 week break, 1 week diet, 1 week break, probably not going to work out. So part of this will depend on personality as well and how lean you are, how good your habits are. I'll come back to that stuff a little bit later on. But as a macro perspective, then we're talking about every sort of 6 to 12 weeks, having 1 to 2 weeks off the diet, but staying sticking to 90% healthy stuff. Okay, so on a micro level, how can we look at this? Well, again, if I said to you, oh, we're going to have a diet break sort of each week, you're a bit like, hang on, how am I ever going to get results? Well, there's different ways to look at this, and you might want to get a pen and paper to write this down. I've actually got a table in front of me, and it might be a good reference point to keep for the future. So when I'm talking about on a micro level, I'm talking about on a weekly basis, what can we do to keep ourselves consistent the rest of the time? Again, it's for most people to try and just permanently be on a diet sort of every minute of the week. You might do it if you've got your wedding in 2 or 3 weeks, so you're not going out drinking, you're literally not socializing, everything's about the wedding, and you're so desperate to look good in your photos, you'll do it. But as a long-term thing, it's good to have these sort of mini breaks along the way. But it's not the same for everybody, okay? So to set the scene for this, what we're going to give you is basically 3 categories of leanness. So for men, I typically say lean is sub 15% body fat. Average, you know, just your average person, 15 to 25% body fat. And overweight, anything above 25% body fat. Okay, so for men, lean under 15, average between 15 and 25, overweight over 25%. For females, lean we're going to take as anything under 25%, average 25 to 35%, and overweight above 35%. Okay, so lean under 25%, average 25 to 35%, and overweight would be anything over 35%. So based on those 3 categories, we can be a bit more accurate in terms of how often we can give an individual this sort of mini diet break. So part of this is psychological for some of these people. Part of it is actually physiological. So if we start with the lean people, so men below 15, ladies below 25, you'll find that having 3 to 4 days in a calorie deficit, you know, I normally talk somewhere between 10 and 30% underneath your maintenance calories. We'll take that as just 20% for ease of discussion. So for 3 or 4 days, I am in a 20% calorie deficit. Then what I'll do is on the next day, I will have a day where I'm either at maintenance level or even up to 10% above maintenance. Now, you might go, oh, I'm going to put on the fat I've lost over the last week. You're not. Okay, it's just one day. What it does for these people who are lean already, it stops your brain going into this, oh, hang on, there seems to be a food shortage mode. You know, the longer this goes on, brain starts to go, hang on, you know, there's not enough food around, we're permanently hungry, because that's when these sort of hormonal changes can happen. And obviously, the leaner you are, actually, the more likely this is going to happen because you don't have high levels of body fat. So you need to be a little bit more careful with this, and trying to just be in a calorie deficit all the time might sound like a good idea because you get faster results, but actually in the long term, it might not work out like that. So like I said, someone who's quite lean, having a sort of higher calorie day every fourth or fifth day tends to work quite well. Something I'm actually doing myself at the moment. So on those, the fourth or fifth day, we're going to go 0 to 10% above your maintenance calories. Now, again, you may want to be a little bit freer on that day, but again, as soon as you start to kind of take the reins off a little bit, you can very easily start going 20% above, 30% above. So typically, I won't really go for any different foods. I'll just eat more of what I have determined to work for me in my diet. So it's just more of the good stuff. All right, so lean people, every fourth or fifth day, we go higher calorie. An average person, again, I tend to take more of a 6 days on, 1 day off approach. That's partly because they've got a bit more body fat, partly because that works very well with our kind of weekly social calendar, our kind of 7 day week. So it works quite well for the brain if you say, right, okay, every week from Saturday evening, I have a day off. So maybe Saturday dinner, Sunday breakfast, Sunday lunch, I can increase my calories on those days, on those meals, and then Sunday evening, I'm back to my plan, I'm in my calorie deficit, and off we go again. So that works really well. You know, typically people have a takeaway on a Saturday night, maybe go to Sunday brunch. I'm from a family where we typically do a Sunday roast. All of this stuff works in nicely. So you can be on point, you can be quite routine Monday to Friday, which normally works very well with work anyway. You just get in that habit of I prepare my food, have my lunch at this time, and it's all part of this work schedule. Then obviously Saturday, in our example, Saturday you're going to stay on point, but you know, okay, I get to Saturday evening and I can sort of let the chains off a little bit. Okay, so the average person, so men 15 to 25%, females 25 to 35, we do that 6 days on, 1 day off approach. And then finally, we have people who we consider to be overweight. So men above 25% body fat, ladies above 35%. Here, these people don't really need a physiological sort of time off, if that makes sense. They're not, because they're carrying around a lot of body fat, their brain is not going to have the same feelings of, oh, hang on, we haven't got sort of good energy storage, there's not much to burn here for energy, so might want to sort of turn the engine down a little bit. So these people, I normally say, if you're after sort of faster results in particular, then just one meal per week. So it's more just a psychological thing. So you're not going, I'm, you know, permanently on this diet, I can never eat what I like. So that's where this concept of the cheat meal comes in. Again, I don't really like that term, because cheating generally means you're doing something you shouldn't, it has bad connotations. Whereas actually, the things we're talking about here are part of the plan. They actually help you stick to the plan. So it shouldn't really be seen as cheating. It's actually something that's gonna help you get where you want to be. Okay, so overweight people, we're typically sticking with one meal per week. Okay, so that's a great way to approach things on a micro level. And as you can see, it very much depends on where you're at. You can't be sort of overweight and going, oh, well, my friend's also doing a diet and they're having every fourth day off, I'm going to do the same. You know, if your friend is super lean already, they've essentially earned the right to do that because they haven't put on loads of body fat already. So unfortunately, it's one of these things, it's like kind of tough love. Sorry, you know, if you want to get these results, you've got to do things a little bit stricter than one of your friends. Okay, so discuss diet breaks of 1 to 2 weeks on a sort of macro level, and then on a micro level within that, we sort of have every fourth day, maybe every fifth day for lean people, every seventh day for what I typically just call average people, and a treat meal once a week for overweight people. So if you put those things into practice, if you've got your diet put together well, you're in the right calorie range, you're getting enough protein in, and you're doing this consistently, then these micro and macro diet breaks will go down very well mentally. And you'll find that you can do this often for months and months and months and months at a time. Potentially forever. You know, you get good at planning this stuff in. Even come Christmas, you go, all right, well, you know, I'm going to be on point. I'm going to get summer out of the way. I've been having, you know, barbecues and a nice cool cider here and there. But then October, November, first half of December, I'm on point. I'm doing this diet. Because I know from mid-December, Christmas parties come in, Christmas comes in. You'll find you'll have lost so much weight that even if you go a little bit nuts over Christmas, which we all do, you're not going to put on that much. Okay, if you compare to where you were at the start of the year, you're really, you know, things haven't really changed. Maybe you put 3 or 4 pounds on over Christmas, but you're 25 pounds down, so it doesn't really matter. And then January the 1st, you start again. So it's all about playing the game and just realizing that you can't always be on a diet, otherwise you're going to get bored, you're going to have no social life, you're going to constantly feel like you're being restricted and restrained, which for a lot of people is literally the worst thing you can do on a diet. But you're also not going the other way and thinking you can just eat whatever you want and magically you're going to get leaner. So based on that, just to finish off, I'm going to talk about some ifs and buts that come along with this. The first one is managing around social events. So it might be that you've got this lovely plan and then someone says, hey, should we go out for a meal on Thursday? That's the only time I can get away from the kids. And you're like, ah, crap, what do I do? Because this doesn't fit. You know, my day off is supposed to be on Saturday. Well, that's where, you know, we start to bring in other things like intermittent fasting. So that's got a lot of press recently. And unfortunately, some people seem to think it has some sort of magic powers to it. But really, fasting's main power is, like everything else, it can help people get into a calorie deficit without maybe measuring food and stuff like that. So quite clearly, if you don't eat for 2 out of 3 meals a day, as long as you control the third one, it's going to be fairly easy to get into a calorie deficit. But you can use this sort of within your diet plan and say, okay, well, yeah, I want to go out for a meal tonight. I quite fancy having, you know, a starter as well, a few more calories. So I'm going to fast for breakfast and lunch, and then I'll be able to eat a bit more in the evening. So, you know, we can maybe run things a bit more like that. A big if and but is if you have a bit of a wobbly food relationship. And this can happen with guys and girls. Typically, we talk about girls a little bit more in terms of anorexia and things like that. So again, you need to be very careful about how you structure this and, you know, telling yourself you can't have your sort of maintenance calories till your fourth or fifth day. It can become a little bit obsessive and it's almost like, oh, I've got to restrict myself for 3 days. It's not about restriction, you know, it's just about a plan. But like I said, if you do have a wobbly food relationship and maybe you haven't taken a while to create some better habits, then actually what might be better for you as an everyday plan is to just have what I call conscious snacks, conscious snacking. So rather than feeling like, oh, I can't have this today, I can't have that, and these feelings of deprivation, you deliberately have a couple of snacks a day. Maybe it is a couple of pieces of dark chocolate. Maybe it's a small piece of cake. And again, there's no real black and white rules to this, but so long as you're staying in that calorie range you're trying to get in and you feel good, you feel like you're not being deprived, and again, you've got to make some decisions as to how that's going to work best for you. Okay, so I can't just say you should do this, and to be honest, that's probably the worst thing to do. You should look at it and go, okay, well, how can I be in this calorie deficit most of the time, because I do want to lose body fat, but I'm not likely to trigger these sort of worries around food and deprivation and control and stuff like that. Okay, another thing is you really need to keep going with this diet until you're able to get close to doing things enough by sight. Again, I hear and see things on social media where people are saying, you don't need to count calories, you know, I'm lean and I don't count calories. But what these people often don't realize is that they over a significant period of time have found out how to eat by sight and stay lean. So they know they can have like a fistful of protein. They know generally they can have, you know, maybe a palmful of carbs or whatever it might be. You know, these people have, just by the way they've lived, they found this, or maybe they actually did used to count calories. Then they used to do things by sight, and now they've kind of forgotten the fact that they went through that period of tracking stuff. So again, you've got to be kind of a bit more careful with these diet breaks, because if you don't yet understand food and what's high in carbs and things like that, then when you try and do stuff by sight, you're likely to be very off, and these diet breaks could go pretty wrong pretty quickly. So you need to keep acting in a way that enables you to either remove emotional attachments from food, but obviously that's not particularly easy, or at least stay on top of it. So have a think about that with the conscious snacking and doing things by sight. You know, if it's a case of, oh, just this week I can eat whatever I want. For some people that means literally eating whatever they want. Whereas like myself, I go, oh, I can eat what I want today. I'm probably still going to have, you know, a bit more rice. I'm still going to have my chicken. I'm still going to have my steak. I might just have, I don't know, like a sugary yogurt that I might not have had. So it doesn't really take me too far off track. So that's something you need to think about within this realm of emotional food eating and so on. And my final point is just a reminder that you can't bank stuff. So don't be thinking about diets like, yeah, I'll just do it for 3 weeks and then I'll just maintain. Because this whole thing of maintaining, it is obviously possible. That's why we call them maintenance calories. But again, if you're not tracking those calories to make sure you're at your maintenance calories, I can pretty much guarantee you're eating more than you think you are. You know, it's kind of a well-known thing in fitness now that people quite drastically underestimate how many calories they're eating and they overestimate how many calories they're burning in the gym. So they're doing stuff by sight. They think they're doing the right thing and they're really trying to do the right thing. But the cold hard numbers are that they're sort of consuming a lot more than they're burning. So remember, you can't bank this stuff. Try and plan out your few months ahead. You know, you don't have to think of this necessarily as an annual plan. You can do. You might want to say, okay, well, every year between, you know, April, May and June, that's my fat loss time. I'm ready for the summer. Over the summer, I'm in sort of maintenance. I eat well, but if I want a cider, I have a cider. And then, you know, Christmas, like we said, maybe you have a little bit more over Christmas and you just learn to manage it. So, you know, your wedding might come up, your holiday might come up. So then you go, okay, really going to knuckle down for 3 weeks. So you just learn to play this game of life, literally. And that helps you to enjoy what you want to enjoy. Yes, you'll have to still make some sacrifices sometimes, but you can enjoy yourself and you can also be fit and lean at the same time. Okay, so I hope that helps you. I hope that gives you some ideas on a macro level in terms of having diet breaks and not trying to do this all the time. And I hope it helps you on a micro level so you can shape things week by week so you don't have those days where you're just like, oh my God, I'm so hungry, I can't even concentrate. But you're also not throwing yourself off your plan. So, as usual, I will remind you, much of this is covered in my book, The Secrets of Showing Up, which is available on Amazon now, so you can order it on there and I'll get it to you as soon as possible. Otherwise, make sure you subscribe to the podcast either on iTunes or you can do it on Spotify now. And if you're new to me and you haven't heard of me before and someone sent you this, then hook up with me on social media and I'll put different videos and useful stuff on there as well. So thanks for listening to the Stormforce Fitness Show. I'm John the Toc and I'll see you in the next episode.